today we're discussing your ever well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada. I have to admit, I'm completely baffled as to where to begin to speak about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, someone who was so much in touch and so much close to Krishna. It's okay, you can keep that there. They once asked Srila Prabhupada, can you say something about your spiritual master? So Prabhupada just closed his eyes and he paused, and then he looked straight back at this person and said, what can I say about my spiritual master? He was a Vaikuntha man. So what can you say about Srila Prabhupada, a Vaikuntha man? You know, like this picture? I love this picture. Like, it's so much Srila Prabhupada as a Vaikuntha man. Whoops. I'm going to close that. That might be someone pouring a bucket from the Brahmachari ashram. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. He said, what can I say, a Vaikuntha man here, Srila Prabhupada, such a Vaikuntha man. You know, I let you into a secret. When I joined this movement, I was captivated by all these pictures. So I used to say to myself, when I get a house, I'm going to put that picture in there and that picture. And this was one of the pictures. I said, when I get a house, I'm going to put that picture in the front room. Of course, I never did get a house. And then I joined the Brahmachari ashram and I thought, okay, at least I didn't get a house. I'll get a room and I'll put it in the room. And then when I joined the ashram, I said, no, buddy, no rooms here. You just find a place where you can sleep and you sleep. So I thought, okay, I didn't get a house. I didn't get a room. At least I can put it in my locker. So I started putting all these pictures in my locker, and then after a few years, I just began traveling. So I wasn't even living out of a locker, I was living out of a suitcase. So then I started putting all the pictures on my laptop. And then one day my laptop crashed. And then I realized through this whole thing that Krishna was telling me, take all of these things and install them within your heart. Take this picture. Don't just put it in a room. Take it into your heart. Take these books and don't just put them on a bookshelf, but take that knowledge and install it within your heart. Yes, by all means, have the instruments and have the beads, but you know what? You can't carry any of this with you. But what you can carry is the attachment for the holy name that you have within your heart. And yeah, you can wear these clothes, bright saffron, but these clothes don't go with you. But through these clothes and these identities, if we develop the mood of being a servant, then that goes with you. So ultimately, Krishna consciousness has to go beyond the externals and it has to go deep within the heart. Because when it's within the heart, you carry it with you at all times and you'll never lose it. So Srila Prabhupada was that person who had taken the Bhagavatam and installed it within his heart. It's said that there are two types of Bhagavatam. One is the Grantha Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavatam. And the other one is called Vyakti Bhagavat or Bhakta Bhagavat, the person who embodies all of those principles, who lives that knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada had spent so much time studying the Bhagavatam, translating the Bhagavatam, and serving the Bhagavatam by bringing the Bhagavatam to the West. When Prabhupada was coming to America, one person said, oh, Swamiji, I heard you're going to America. Prabhupada said, I'm not going to America, the Bhagavatam is going to America. I'm just carrying it. So he served the Bhagavatam and he took the Bhagavatam. And by all of that, he became a living theology. He became a manifestation of the Bhagavatam. So everything that we read in the Bhagavatam comes to life in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. And that's why we're so fortunate. We're so fortunate to have a person who we can read about, who we can hear about, and who we can see before our eyes, who is a living representation of everything that we read in so many pages of books and hear in so many hours of lectures. Because we read so much and we hear so much, But oftentimes it goes in one ear and out the other. But in Srila Prabhupada, we see someone who's taking that and living it. And so Srila Prabhupada's life and his contribution and the way he carried himself and the way he dealt in every situation, the way he made decisions, the way he reacted to challenges, everything is just a living representation of Bhagavatam. And therefore for us to hear about Srila Prabhupada's life and to see how he dealt with all the challenges that come, that's very, very valuable. So maybe we can go along this theme today of seeing Srila Prabhupada as a living representation of the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, many, many descriptions are given of a saintly person, a sadhu, in many, many different passages and many different cantos of Bhagavatam. And when we actually study all of these passages, we see that Srila Prabhupada brought this completely to light. So maybe today we can go through some of those passages. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, we find a very, very interesting pastime. Vidura was living with the Pandavas, and he was their trusted guide, although not always appreciated by the Kauravas. So at one point, he was trying to convince Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan so much that change your ways. But finally, because they were so obstinate, so stubborn not to change, and they offended Vidura, Vidura left. He left the palace. And he went on pilgrimage to many, many different holy places. Finally, Vidura at one point had an inspiration. And he said, let me go back to the palace one more time. Let me try one more time to convince Dhritarashtra that, you know, your hair's going gray, your back's going, your eyesight is failing, everything is dwindling, now just give it up. So he came back to the palace. And as he came back to the palace, no one was more over the moon than the Pandavas. The Pandavas were so happy he had come back. And then Yudhisthira glorified Vidura with a very, very beautiful verse. Bhavat vidā bhāgavatas tirtabhūta svayam vibhu tirti kurvanti tirthani svantasthena gadā prita. Yudhisthira said to Vidura, you, devotees like you, you are like walking places of pilgrimage. Sva antasthena, because the Lord, Gadabrita, has become situated within the core of your heart, wherever you go, that place becomes a tirtha, becomes a pilgrimage place. So they were saying to Vidur, we don't have to go to any pilgrimage place. The fact that you have come here, you have made this a holy place. So this is very, very beautiful. The concept that a saintly person, a sadhu, carries the holy Dham and the influence of the holy Dham with them, and wherever they go, they create that influence around them. This was Srila Prabhupada. Bhavananda Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, went to a Navadvipa astrologer. He didn't even take any of Prabhupada's birth details. All he did was he took Prabhupada's picture to a Navadvipa astrologer, because physiognomy, just by seeing the facial features, they can understand what kind of personality this is. This Navadvipa astrologer looked at the picture of Srila Prabhupada. He practically nearly fell over. And he said, this man has the power to create a house in which the whole world can live. Bhavananda Prabhu, he went back to Prabhupada and he said, I just went to the astrologer. This is what he said, that you can create a house in which the whole world can live. And Prabhupada just looked down and he smiled and he said, yes, that's my mission. That's what Prabhupada wanted to do. Because he was a walking place of pilgrimage, he had the ability to bring people together. People from so many walks, different walks of life, so many different cultures, so many different economic situations, and he just brought them together to serve Krishna as one. One time, one PhD student, she came to one of our temples and she said, I can understand this is definitely a spiritual movement, because practically I'm looking at everyone in this temple and I'm seeing that you all are so different. that there's no reason why you should be living and doing things together. You're so different. But there must be some deep unifying factor that's keeping you guys together. Therefore, this is deep. He had that realization, which was interesting. And often I do that. I look in the Hare Krishna movement, I'm in different places, and I look in the room and I think, if I wasn't a devotee of Krishna, would I have anything to do with these people? Probably not. Srila Prabhupada, he was just bringing everyone together. He said that there are four types of holy dham. One is Goloka, the dham in the spiritual world. Then there is Bhoma, the dham in Vrindavan we go to where we visit for inspiration. But there is also the inner dham, the inner place of pilgrimage, the inner Vrindavan, and that is the Vrindavan that's created within the consciousness of a pure devotee. And he said that the inner Vrindavan has the ability to create the outer Vrindavan, which is the fourth one, which is that such a person can go to any place in the world and he can create Vrindavan in that place. Therefore, Prabhupada created new Vrindavan, new Mayapur, new Jagannath Puri, new Shantipur, new Panihati, new Dwarka. That's the power of a pure devotee. So therefore, we see that Srila Prabhupada just brought everyone together, and his influence allowed people to overcome their differences. So this is very important, because this is the glorification of Srila Prabhupada, that we have to have communities where all the devotees are very much together. Because if the devotees aren't together, then we're not really glorifying Prabhupada. Because if Prabhupada is really a walking place of pilgrimage, then it means wherever he goes, that, or wherever he's at the, supposed to be at the center, that place should be like Vaikuntha. So one time Srila Prabhupada said, I brought the whole spiritual world into the material world by establishing these temples. That was my mystic potency. But you all are so mystical that you've brought the material world back into the spiritual world. By your petty arguments, by your differences, by your material mentalities, by being amongst sincere spiritualists, but holding a very, very mundane mentality. So therefore, the cooperation that we have amongst us, the unity that we have amongst us, that's the real glorification of Srila Prabhupada. And that's what he said, that your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate with each other. And the events surrounding that is that the context within which Prabhupada made this statement, Rasayana Sagar Maharaj was explaining recently. Prabhupada was very sick in 1977. So different devotees were writing letters to Srila Prabhupada. So someone wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to give you my young age. I want to give you my youth. And I'll take your old age and your sickness and your imminent passing away. I'll take that on me. I'll give you my youth so that you can carry on preaching for many, many decades to come. So he wrote a letter like this. So Prabhupada read the letter. He smiled. He said, "This is very nice. Thank you. Thank you for your loving sentiment. But your real love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate with others." Which is very interesting, because basically what Prabhupada's saying is, it's easier to die than to cooperate. It's easier to give up your physical health than to give up your subtle false ego. It's easier to leave than to stay with the devotees and actually build bridges and be having a loving interaction with them. Because factually we're having so much pride. And therefore, the real love for Prabhupada is how much the devotees stay together. So we have to cooperate. One devotee once came to me and said, Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate, so you should cooperate with me. I was like, I agree with the statement, but I'm not sure I agree with your purport. No, we have to be willing to sacrifice. So where there is great cooperation, Vaikuntha, then anything can happen. Vaikuntha is the world of unlimited possibility. That's basically what Vaikuntha is. It's the world of unlimited possibility. So if this building actually becomes Vaikuntha because everyone cooperates on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's desires, then that means this building and everyone in this building becomes available to unlimited possibility. Miracles can happen. Yeah, definitely. So that's what Srila Prabhupada came to give us, a walking place of pilgrimage. So this is one definition of a sadhu. We carry on, for example, in the 11th canto. Here's another definition of a sadhu. In the 11th canto, we find Krishna instructing Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita. So there's one passage called the Aila Gita. And this is the reflections of someone called Pururava. Pururava was a great personality, but he became attracted to a heavenly, celestial damsel named Urvashi. And he became so infatuated by her beauty and so attracted and enchanted that he desired, I must have her. So indeed, he did get her. But match fixing. Dukalayam Ashashvata, everything is temporary. So then eventually Urvashi left him. Purura became so maddened. How can I live without her? Then she said, okay, I'll be with you for one night every year. Because, oh my God, that's even worse. And he basically was driven crazy until he became enlightened with spiritual knowledge to understand that all objects of enjoyment in this world are so transitory. And then he recited a beautiful passage called the Aila Gita, in which he's explaining how everything in this world is temporary. So it's this very deep renunciation he's expressing. And after he expresses all his realizations of renunciation from the material world, Krishna cites a verse. Tatodu sangamut srijya satsu sajjeta buddhiman shanta eva sichindanti manovyasanga mukti bi. He said Pururava was fortunate because he got sadhu sangha. And what's the power of a sadhu? The power of a sadhu is that ukti bi. Every sadhu carries a sharp instrument. You know what that sharp instrument is? Shanta eva syachindanti. By this sharp instrument that a sadhu holds, he is able to mano vyasangam uktibi, he is able to cut one's material attachments. What is the sharp instrument that a sadhu holds? His words. A sadhu is someone who's able to cut someone else's material attachment simply through their words. And therefore it said, Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavirastane. If you really want to understand Bhagavatam, then sit at the feet of a Vaishnava and hear their words. Because the words of someone who's living Bhagavatam are so sharp that if you continuously hear them, it will be very dangerous for your material life. Srila Prabhupada's words were like that, power-packed. Mukunda Maharaj, he came up to the Bowery. Srila Prabhupada was living in the Bowery. This was the lowest of the low. 94 Bowery, Lower East Side, New York. A building full of rats, full of drunken people, where basically Prabhupada was living in the most degraded neighborhood in America. There Prabhupada had set up a temple. I mean, what a place to set up a temple. So Mukunda Maharaj, at that time, he was Michael Grant. He came up the stairs. He thought, what is going on here? Like, this is like even far out by my standards. He arrived there and he saw Prabhupada sitting on a dais speaking to all these hippies. He came in and he sat down. And he said, I sat there for half an hour. And practically, I didn't understand even one thing what this man was saying. First thing is I couldn't understand his accent. Second thing is I couldn't understand his philosophy. And third thing is I was just looking around at all of these crazy people thinking, what are these people doing here? He said, I didn't understand one word. But when I heard the vibration come from this man's mouth, I felt so much urgency that this man has something very important to tell the world. And that convinced me that there's something special here. I have no clue what he's saying, but with his words, there's so much urgency is emanating that he must have something important to say. So that's what convinced him to stay. So this is a sadhu, that when they speak to you, they're not just communicating words, they're not just communicating information, but they're communicating their conviction, their faith, their inspiration, their deep realization is being implanted within you when you hear from them. So Srila Prabhupada was someone who by his words was just basically catapulting people into the spiritual world. That was the power of his words. And severing them from all their material attachments. One time a donor had come, and Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he was very kind. He was donating so much money. So they invited him, yes, please come and see the Swami. He'll be very happy with you. So they were walking together. So Prabhupada looked at him and he said, so what is your business? What do you do? He said, I'm a glass manufacturer. Prabhupada said, good business? He said, very good business. Prabhupada said, where does the glass come from? He said, glass comes from sand and other minerals and other material. And where does that come from? That comes from the earth. And where does the earth come from? Well, that, you know, ultimately God. So Prabhupada says, so basically, you're a thief. So all devotees were, oh my God, no, Prabhupada, he's okay. He's one of the good guys, you know, like he's giving us some money. So and one devotee said, no, Prabhupada, he's donating something to the temple. So Prabhupada said, okay. So then you're a small thief. Another time there was Mr. Sethi in Bombay. Again, owner of a construction firm. Great service for Prabhupada. Building the Juhu temple. To this day, he has so much appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. But you know what Prabhupada? He met him. Srila Prabhupada said, what is your morning schedule? What do you do in the morning? He said, I get up. 9, 10 o'clock sometimes. And Prabhupada said, and then what? And then he said, sometimes I'm in bed and then they bring, the servant may bring some refreshment, breakfast in bed. So Prabhupada was listening to him, he said, breakfast in bed? Prabhupada said, what is the difference between you and a pig? I was like, oh my God. Then Prabhupada looked at him direct in his eyes with the deepest compassion and gravity. And he said, don't waste your life like this. Don't waste your human form of life. And he said, when Prabhupada looked at me with those penetrating words, some transformation. And he said, for the first time in my life, I felt like I've met someone who's not trying to flatter me, who's not trying to praise me, who's not trying to take something from me, who's not trying to just make me feel better, but someone who has come to give me something that will actually help me in my life. And he fully dedicated himself to serving Srila Prabhupada. So this is Srila Prabhupada, someone who by his words was just extricating people from all their material attachments. So Srila Prabhupada was not, he said, I'm not here to be popular. I'm not here to entertain people. But I'm here to give them the knowledge necessary to make their life successful. So this is the power of a saintly person, that by their words they're able to create such transformation. Again, if we go on in the Bhagavatam, we come to, for example, the 8th canto. In the 8th canto, we find many epic pastimes, but one of the most epic pastimes in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam is the churning of the milk ocean. So there, the demigods and the demons create a truce, and they say, yes, together, we'll work together, and we'll churn the milk ocean, and many, many nice things will come out, and the nicest thing that will come out is the amrita, or the nectar that will give us all immortality. So as they're churning, many, many wonderful things come out, but there's a hitch. Match fixing. There's a problem. The problem is that the poison comes out. And this poison is so powerful that it has the ability to basically destroy just innumerable people. So then the demigods have no clue, how will we deal with this poison? And then they go to Lord Shiva and they petition Shiva that, can you do something about this situation? And then Shiva takes it upon himself to then drink that halahal poison. And then he becomes known as Nilakant, or the one with a blue, darkish throat, because he's keeping the poison within his throat in order to save all living entities. And as Shiva does this, then he becomes glorified in the Bhagavatam. Dapyante lokata pena sadavo prayaso jana paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya khilatmanaha. In this verse, what is explained? Tapyante lokatapena. That saintly persons all have one great quality. What is that great quality? Tapyante lokatapena. That they take tapa, or suffering, upon themselves. Why? Lokatapena, to relieve the suffering of humanity. Who is that person who's going to take suffering in their life to relieve the suffering of others? Most of the time we look at others and we think, I can't deal with anyone else's problems, I've got too many myself. Once one man, he was thinking, I have so many problems. He went to the king. He said, I have so many problems. King said, you're the 100th guy who's come to me saying you've got so many problems. Tomorrow what I'm going to do is, in the kingdom, I'm going to set up a gallery of everyone's problems. And what I want you all to do is come to the gallery and display what all of your problems are. So they all eagerly came. These are my problems. So then they were walking around looking at everyone else's problems. They're like, look at that guy, look at that guy. Anyway, they had a good laugh looking at everyone's problems. And then they all began leaving. And the king said, whoa, where are you all going? He said, we've seen all the problems. We're out of here. The king said, I've got a gallery full of problems here. Each one of you have to take one set of problems. So now they all went around looking at the problems in a different way. Thinking which set of problems do you want to take? Okay, this problem, well, that one's not too bad, but oh my God, that, no, I don't deal with that. That one, no. They looked at everyone's problems and said, you know what? I take my own problems and get out of here. Who is that person who's going to take on problems to solve the problems of others? Only a saintly person would do such a thing. Therefore, param aradhanam tadhi. There is no higher way of worshipping Krishna than to take on problems to help other people solve their problems. The Bhagavatam says, param aradhanam tadhi. There's no higher way of worshipping Krishna than this. One time the devotees were in LA with Srila Prabhupada, and they were trying to demonstrate to Srila Prabhupada how degraded the world was. So they came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, the world, Kali Yuga, very, very bad. Can you imagine, Srila Prabhupada, that now there's this Jewish monastery and they want to close the monastery down? And these are saintly people, they're just praying all day. And the council wants to close them down. And they're praying all day. Prabhupada said they should be closed down. It's like, I said, why are they praying all day? they should also go out and do something practically to help the world. And then Prabhupada quoted, Archayam eva hadaye, pujam yashradaye hate, natad bhakte shuchan yeshu, sa bhakta prakrita smrita. That one who only sees Krishna in the archa, even if pujam yashradaye hate, even if you worship Krishna in his archa vigraha with great shraddha, with great faith, with great devotion, natad bhakteshu chanyeshu, but you don't do anything for the people around you, but you don't have the ability to see Krishna within everyone's heart and feel that I must also help them, sa bhakta prakrita smrita, then you're known to be a materialistic devotee. That's what Bhagavatam says. It's not enough to just worship Krishna. It's not enough to just see Krishna on the altar here. We have to see Krishna within the hearts of everyone and do something to help them. So Srila Prabhupada was in that mood that he basically expended all his energy and took on so much suffering to help others. I mean, Srila Prabhupada came on a ship. He's 70 years old. He has 2 heart attacks. After 2 months on a ship, he arrives in New York, a foreign place, after having 2 heart attacks. A normal person would get off the ship and at least go to hospital to get a checkup done, you know? Like, what's going on here? Prabhupada didn't even go for a hospital checkup. He just went straight into Tompkins Square Park, sat underneath a tree, took his kartals, started chanting Hare Krishna, and then just started telling people about Krishna. Can you imagine who would do such a thing? After 2 heart attacks, you don't even, completely oblivious. So Srila Prabhupada was just taking on so much suffering, so much hardship, so much difficulty. Prabhupada said, they call me Prabhupada, but factually I'm problem pad. Because people are only coming to me with problems. But he never became discouraged. He never became disheartened. He never became fatigued. Sometimes we become so fatigued that we think, I've had enough. I need a break. Prabhupada just kept going and going and going. In the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, we find the pastime of Chitraketu. Chitraketu has everything, but the one thing he doesn't have is a son. So he's in lamentation. How will I deal with this? Narad and Angira Munis come to him and give him a solution. Anyway, it's a long story. Finally, they bless him. You'll have a son, but the son will be Harsha Shoka. He'll give you great happiness, but he'll give you a lot of problems as well. He said, don't worry. A blind son is better than no son. I'll take it. So he had the son. Anyway, as we know, the pastime goes, the son passes away because of being poisoned by some of the other wives. Finally, Chitraketu goes into a big lamentation, and then after being enlightened again by Narad Muni and Angira Muni, he comes out of his lamentation, he realizes the goal of life, and then he's basically traveling as a free person again, free in consciousness, free in mind, happy again, in good spiritual consciousness. And then somehow, one day on his travels, he comes across Shiva and Parvati. Without going into the details of the story, he basically makes a judgment on what's going on between them without understanding the full story. It wasn't a big offense, but Parvati took an offense. And she cursed him. That now, because you have acted in this way, because you have violated the principles of religion, in your next life you'll become a demon. It's like such a heavy curse for a small thing. But Chitraketu, saintly, a sadhu, didn't react. He just took it. And then Shiva's looking at how Chitraketu reacted to this reversal. And Shiva says, amazing. Narayana para sarve, nākutaschana bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshva apitulyartha darshina. What is the quality of a saintly person? Narayana parasarve. They're so absorbed in Narayan. Na kutaschana bibhyati, that they don't fear any circumstance of life. Svarga, they could be in heavens. Apavarga, they could be liberated. Or narak, they could go down. Apituliyartha darshina, for them it's all the same. No fear. A saintly person has no fear. Na kutaschana bibhyati. So who is that person who's having no fear? Our life is basically dominated by fears. Fears of the future, fears of the past, fears of our children, fears over how India will do in the World Cup. Sorry? On Rath Yatra Day. When things are good, we're fearful that they will lose it. And when things are bad, we're fearful that it will never end. So much fear. But all fear is artificial. Because Bhagavatam says, Bhayam dvitiya abhiniveshata shyat. That fear only comes when you see two realities. There's Krishna and there's Maya. But when you're seeing only Krishna, then there's no room for Maya. And when there's no room for Maya, there's no fear. But when you're seeing two realities, seeing Krishna and then again seeing Maya, then again you're plummeted into so many fears. So all fear is artificial. All fear is learnt. Have you ever had a fear 20 years ago that you don't have anymore? Did you not have a fear 20 years ago that you have now? Do you have a fear that somebody else doesn't have? Do they have a fear that you don't have? These are all signs that fear is just something that's learnt. But when you're Narayana Parasarve, you have no fear. Therefore, Prabhupada could go anywhere, he could do anything, and he could speak to anyone, and he had no fear. One time they came to Srila Prabhupada and they said, how are you challenging all these scientists? You're not a scientist. Who would go to a PhD and start challenging on Big Bang Theory in public forums, on live television? We would be fearful. They asked Prabhupada, how are you going and speaking to them like this? Prabhupada said, how can I believe them when they say that Krishna doesn't exist, when I'm seeing Krishna every moment? I'm seeing Krishna and they're telling me Krishna doesn't exist. So I can't believe them. So one who is having this deep Krishna consciousness, absorbed in Krishna, then they don't see any other reality. And therefore they have no fear. So Prabhupada had no fear. He could do anything. Therefore his name, Abhay Charanaravinda, one who is fearless, having taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So, many, many more qualities. Maybe it's 6 o'clock. We'll describe one more and then I'll open it up if there's any questions. 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Cowherd boys are playing. This is just after the incident where Krishna has stolen the garments of the gopis. So Krishna plays the whole trick. He steals the garments of the gopis. Anyway, after that whole incident, then Krishna and the cowherd boys go out into the very hot Vrindavan summer. So then they're looking for some shade. So then as they venture out into the cowherd pastures, then they find a tree. And then they come underneath the tree and they're benefiting from the shade of a tree. And then Krishna looks at the tree. And then looking at the tree with incredible gratitude, Krishna says, Oh he shamvaram janma sarva prani upajivinam sujana seva ye samvai vimukha yanti nartina. Krishna looks at these trees and he says, Aho esham varam janma, what an amazing birth this is. I don't know last time you looked at a tree and thought, what an amazing birth. I mean, we don't generally look at trees and think that. Krishna did. Krishna said, Aho esham varam janma, what a wonderful birth. Sarva prani upajivinam, because this whole existence of the tree is simply to serve others. The tree just serves and doesn't expect anything for themselves. The tree gives fruits and never tastes any of those fruits themselves. People may come and mistreat a tree in so many ways, but the tree never protests. Someone may come and cut down the tree, but the tree just humbly grows back again and just does the same thing all over again. Krishna's looking at the tree and says, Vimukha yanti nartina. No one ever comes to you and then goes away disappointed, because you always give. So in this way, Krishna, and it's funny, this pastime just takes place just before Krishna sends the cowherd boys to the yagyic brahmanas for food. And those yagyic brahmanas seemingly are the ones who are following everything, who are following the shastra, who are doing everything wonderfully. But they miss the point of serving Krishna, of serving others. They're so entangled in their own religious life, my own religious life, that they forget that the essence of life is to be selfless, is to give yourself to others. And therefore Krishna says, Aho esham varam, what a birth. Because this selflessness, this is the hallmark of a spirituality, a spiritualist. So we want to measure our Krishna consciousness. You may measure your Krishna consciousness by how many rounds you chant. You may measure your Krishna consciousness by how many programs you come to, how much service you do, or this or that. But factually, the amount of Krishna consciousness within our heart is based on the level of undiminishing selflessness that we display in our lives. And Srila Prabhupada was that person who was just giving, giving, giving without any break. Once Brahmananda Prabhu, he was with Srila Prabhupada. He observed Srila Prabhupada from the moment he got up. Prabhupada got up, he chanted some japa, he began translating. Then he answered some letters, then he continued translating again. By that time it was time for the class. He went down, he gave the class. After the class he came up, he took a bit of breakfast, then he met with his devotees to deal with management problems. Then he went for an afternoon engagement at a radio place, gave the interview, preached to the people. Then he came back. Then again, he was doing some correspondence. Then again, he went for an evening program. Then he spoke to everyone about Krishna. Finally, Brahmananda Prabhu was coming back with Srila Prabhupada in the car. He was sitting next to Prabhupada in the back. Brahmananda was also like, big. So he was sitting with Srila Prabhupada in the back seat. And Srila Prabhupada began dozing off. So practically, Srila Prabhupada began dozing off, and then he went like this, and Prabhupada actually went straight into his lap. So Brahmananda was right there, like, I mean, he's a comfortable person to sleep on. So Prabhupada was in Brahmananda's lap, and Brahmananda was right there, and Prabhupada was just there, just fully exhausted from the day. And he said, I looked at Prabhupada, and in this person, I saw someone who was just giving every last bit of energy to help others. And I saw, here is the complete embodiment of selflessness. So, one reporter once said to Prabhupada, I mean, because Prabhupada, after the interview, he was just taking some small snacks. So the interview said, you don't eat much. Prabhupada said, yeah, I don't eat much, I don't sleep much, I don't require much. Factually, my disciples get a lot out of me. I'm giving, but I don't, I'm low maintenance. Prabhupada was just so much not into himself, just serving others. One time they said to Prabhupada was walking down from a plane and everyone bowed down and everyone was ecstatic to see Prabhupada. One person said to him, How is it that everyone loves you? Prabhupada said, because I love them. And because I love them, I serve them. And because I serve them, naturally they want to serve me. You see, in our life, to the extent that we're self-absorbed, absorbed in my life, my problems, my desires, people will be repelled from you. But to the extent we deal with people thinking about them, how can I serve them? How can I help? People will be attracted. So do you want to attract or do you want to repel? It depends on the level of your self-absorption. So Prabhupada was just completely selfless, and therefore he was able to conquer everyone's heart. So in this way, as we go step by step, looking at how the Bhagavatam explains who is a saintly person, then you realize Srila Prabhupada is the living theology of the Bhagavatam. Because at every stage he was just practicing all these principles. So we could go on more and more, but we won't because of time. But I'd like to just open it up if there's any questions or comments or reflections or anything anyone would like to clarify. Then we have 5 or 10 minutes for that, if anyone would like. Are there any questions?